Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
With the light sublime, the Bible stands, though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Well, I think we need to move on to the next listener and answer his question. It looks like I've got three more questions after this, and the last one's a long one. But we'll try to get all three of them in before we close out this series. This question says, a friend asks, why was the large rock over the opening of the cave where Jesus was laid? If he ascended to heaven for Father God, he could have done it from a locked cave. Well, my answer is, well, that is a good question. I also would interject this passage in my answer in order to clarify it all the more. In John 20, verse 16 and 17, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Now this is when he has resurrected. Mary, of course, is the first at the tomb. Other ladies who came with her have left. One will see later that the others do touch Jesus after his resurrection. But why not Mary Magdalene at this time? Because Jesus will ascend to the Father in heaven and apply the blood that was shed for our sins, and he will apply it at the mercy seat in heaven. And then over the next 40 days, he will be in and out of heaven talking among the people there. Over 500 will see him. It's important to quote that the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament had a mercy seat upon it. And it was actually shown to Moses as a pattern of the heavenly ark. Now, there were 16 soldiers guarding the tomb as Jesus rose from the dead. We must remember that it was not the deity of Christ that died on the cross for all sin for all time. Or as 1 John 2:2 states it, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The idea of propitiation is the entire payment for all time, for all people, for all time. As the hymn writer stated it, Jesus paid it all. It was his human body and human spirit that suffered on the cross for us. The wrath of Almighty Deity was poured out upon his human spirit in order to pay the penalty for our sin. You are right. Jesus did not need to roll the stone away. However, as a witness to man who would try his best to prevent the resurrection and not allow the disciples to come and steal the body away and later say, the tomb is empty, he is risen. So the stone had a seal upon it. It would take more than just one to remove the stone. So this became a witness to the world and those soldiers. And it is especially important to his disciples. You see, the stone is rolled away not to let him out, but for man to come in and see that he is risen. Now this will also be seen later in 1 Corinthians 15:12 through 22, which is a great apologetic for the physical resurrection. The heresy of the resurrection being spiritual only and not physical is therefore put down as people are able to come and see there's an empty tomb. The soldiers went into the city to tell the Sanhedrin what had happened. They paid them to tell a lie instead, but there was a witness. Therefore, it was necessary to see the resurrection was physical. Unsaved and saved needed that witness. History would need that witness as well. So it's reported that above 500 saw Jesus at one time in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And of course, if you read 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 22, we read it again. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and if we are found liars and false witnesses of God, because ye have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be the dead arise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sin. And they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by a man came death, by a man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The rock removed is proof to the world of a literal bodily resurrection and of God's power. And we, by the way, visit that tomb when we go to Israel. And as the cross was physically witnessed, so too the resurrection. Why? Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Thank you, my friend, for such a great question, and I hope this answers your friend's question as well. And thank you for listening to our Lamp and Light broadcast. Well, let's take the next question here, and this is our second to the last question. And this one says, I have a question for your question and answer radio program. From Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, media talks of the Jews, and it isn't exactly right when I read this verse. How do we identify ourselves, whether we be Jew or Gentile? Or does this verse explain the question of identity? Well, I answered there that the text to which you refer is Romans 2, 28 and 29, which states, For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is he that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. The Old Testament Jew was of the nation of Israel and chosen of God. The question that is often misunderstood is, chosen for what? The answer is seen in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now they were to be a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. That is what God chose them to do. A priest does two things. First, he speaks to God for people. Secondly, he speaks to people for God. Now, as a holy nation, he is to be separated from all worldliness and false doctrine. Israel thought they were chosen for salvation only, and the rest of the nations weren't. Some Jews today who have been saved say that the hardest thing was seeing they needed a Savior. They thought they were going to heaven because they were born a Jew. So back in verse 28, we must go back to the context of the book. Chapter 1 spoke of the gospel when all the terrible sins of the day were taking place, chapter 2 shows the problem is a sin problem. So when verse 28 states, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly," this takes us into the spiritual realm of life. Outward conformity to various aspects of the law did not make them saved people. And just like some think I got baptized or I joined a church makes me saved, it does not. Outward conformity to various aspects of the law did not make them saved people. So in chapters 4, 6 through 8, David, who lived in the law, said, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man whom God imputeth righteousness without works, and blessed are they whose iniquities," now get that, "whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." In other words, the circumcision was not to be the heart, that is, the inner man. Circumcision was to be more than just a religious icon. It was to show the holy part of the individual. Christians are to live separately from the world. Now think of James 4:4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Now I have counseled many married couples in which one of the partners had committed adultery. The hurt party has said in my presence, "I could have taken their dying much better." They lose the trust of the mate as well as the respect of their children if they're found out. The party that is hurt learns the difference between hurt feelings and a wounded spirit, which the book of Proverbs asks, "Who can bear?" When we want to look like, talk like, and be like the world, we commit adultery against the Lord who saved us. If I had a glass of water straight from the sewer, would you not drink it? Of course you wouldn't. If I pour crystal, 100% clear water into a glass with sewer water, you still will not want to drink it. I see this in churches when they take the pure words of God's word and then they mix it with the sewer of the world's rock sound. We could say this, however, about being in church and the pleasures of the world, incorporating their ways as lies, hypocritical ways, untrustworthiness, and a host of other things. You see, the world's standards are not to be ours. That is adultery in God's sight. That is deplorable as the water one would drink from mixed sewer water and crystal pure water, if they're mixed together.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.